fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today you will be listening to Garrett Morgan, pastor of Big Rapids, Bristol, and Reed City Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Pastor Garrett.
Happy Sabbath, all. Happy New Year, too. What a great way to spend the first day of the new year with one another and with the Lord in His house. Amen. Well, today we're going to be taking a look at maybe something that is familiar to you, but definitely we need to take a look at it again as a reminder. You know, it's good to be reminded of things. I was reminded the other day before I left, I spent a couple hours with Elder Russ in his garage. He was helping me do some stuff on my truck. And you know, it's one thing in the Bible to read to have patience. It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And there were definitely some instances working on that truck where I was like, goodness, it'd be awful easy for us to get angry right now. And definitely taught me a lesson in patience that day, I'll tell you that. But it's good to be reminded of truths like that, is it not? And today, we're going to be taking a look at that. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your Sabbath. This is your day. Lord, a day that has been set apart from all others. And as we take a look at what that means, we ask that you would bless us, that you would guide us, we pray, in your name. Amen. Well, 2020 and 2021 have been doozies, haven't they? And I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you are a little tired? Yeah. How many of you are a little bit tired just thinking about what 2022 may bring? Yeah, definitely. I understand. You know, the Bible, when it talks about being tired, it talks about sleep. The Bible talks about sleep in two very distinct ways. Number one, sleep is looked at in the Bible as often a bad thing. Take a look at the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. They all slept, and that's looked at as a negative thing, right? They were supposed to be awake and alert and seeking and looking after the bridegroom that was coming, and they were found asleep. It's looked at as a negative thing. Take a look at the Laodicean church that are lukewarm, right? Very similar to sleep. Looked at as a bad thing. But on the other hand, sleep can be looked at as a good thing in the Bible as well. For instance, when Jesus was in the storm with his disciples and their boat was being tossed around like a toy in the storm, what was Jesus doing? He was asleep. Why? Because he was completely confident that his God had everything under control, right? That was a good sleep. We see that with Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar sent his representative to the door, and the representative said, Daniel, we're here to kill you. And Daniel said, give me just a few hours, give me tonight to talk to my God, and if he doesn't tell me anything by tomorrow, then have at it. The guard leaves, Daniel prays, asks God for deliverance and for answers, and what does Daniel do? Falls asleep, right? That's a good sleep because he was confident in his God. Sleep and rest can be looked at as a good thing because we're confident in the rest of God, but sleep can also be looked at as a careless thing as well, right? It's important to differentiate the two, especially when we're talking about the kind of rest that God wants us to experience on his Sabbath day. I did a lot of looking at the Sabbath the past few weeks as I've been gone, and it's been a refreshing time, and I'd like to review some of what I learned with you. If you'd go with me to Genesis 1 here just for a few moments, I'd like to review with you something that you already know. Of course, in Genesis 1, as God is there in the beginning, God has always been, has he not? He's God. He knows no beginning, he knows no end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, right? The beginning and the end. In Genesis 1, we see him creating. We see this in verse 4 of Genesis 1. God saw the light, that it was what? It was good. You see the same as he continues to create things. You see it in verse 10. God called the dry land earth, the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. You keep reading Genesis chapter 1, and everything that God creates, he creates perfect, or what the Bible calls good. And then he creates man on day 6. After he's created all of these animals, after he's created the atmosphere, the sun to warm him, oxygen to breathe, food to eat, God created things for man. And God did not just create things for man to survive, but God created these things for mankind to thrive. There's a difference between just surviving and getting by with the bare minimum and thriving in life, is there not? And God gave Adam and Eve, as I believe he gives to us today, everything that we need, not just to merely exist, but to thrive in life. And one of those things that he created was, of course, the Sabbath. Just like God created food, just like God created air to breathe and water to drink and people to love, he also created the Sabbath because he knew that we as humanity needed this. In fact, you see it in Genesis 2, we've read it already, but it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now, as we read this in Genesis 2, let me ask you a question as far as context goes. Is this taking place before or after sin has been introduced into the world? This is before sin has been introduced into the world, right? The first Sabbath took place before Adam and Eve fell. We know that. But what's interesting is this. Before sin entered the Garden of Eden, before sin entered that paradise, God introduced to Adam and Eve work, right? A lot of people believe that work is a byproduct of sin. But work was something that God gave Adam and Eve before sin took place. In other words, God created us to be active, did he not? He created us to be working, to be doing something. Another thing which I find is interesting, well, before we get to that, I believe that the work that God created Adam and Eve to do was something that was enjoyable, amen? Something that was active, something that gave them a purpose. And the work that we often know of today, maybe going to the office or whatever it may be, the work that you may know today, I believe, is far different than the work that Adam and Eve were given in the Garden of Eden, right? Of course, this is after the curse of sin and all of that. But another thing which I find is interesting, God gave Adam and Eve a day of rest before sin. Isn't that interesting? Before sin could come and wear out Adam and Eve even more, God gave them a day of rest. But in our society today, in our busy culture, we often take a look at resting as a negative thing. Did you know that? We often look as taking time with our family and taking time with God or taking a Sabbath as a negative thing. Maybe that resting equates weakness. But in the mind of God, rest was something that wasn't just needed by mankind, but that was important to man. And we're going to see that as we continue through here today. God rested on the seventh day. Now, let me mention something here quickly. The Sabbath is different than just taking a day off. I want to say that again. Sabbath is different than just taking a day off. When you take a day off from work that's not the Sabbath, usually your day off means taking a break from the work that you do for money, but maybe you're having to do something else, right? How many of you take a day off from work and you're busier at home than you were at work, right? Like you take a day off so you can catch up on the stuff at home, whether it's mowing the lawn, maybe you're fixing your car, maybe you're paying the bills, maybe you're doing the laundry, maybe you're running some errands. When you take a day off from work, it just means you've got more time to work, right? So taking a Sabbath, the Sabbath that God has given us, is far different than just taking a day off, right? Because the Sabbath is not just taking a day off from work, but it's taking a day off of all the distractions that this world has to offer, right? Whether they're good or whether they're bad. Now, as we continue reading here, I'd like to notice this. In Patriarchs and Prophets, page 47, It says this, after resting upon the seventh day, God sanctified it or set it apart as a day of rest for man. Following the example of the Creator, man was to rest upon this sacred day, that as he should look upon the heavens and the earth, he might reflect upon God's great work of creation, and that as he should behold the evidences of God's wisdom and goodness, his heart might be filled with love and reverence for his Maker. Sabbath is far more than just taking a day off work. Sabbath has a purpose, doesn't it? In fact, when you take a look at the Sabbath, you know, I've been a Seventh-day Adventist my entire life, and there's one thing that I've noticed. I've never heard of someone accidentally taking a Sabbath. I've never heard somebody come through the church doors and be like, you know, I just woke up one day and I was like, oh, I'm keeping the Sabbath today. And just kind of, you know what I mean? Just accidentally took one. When you take the Sabbath or you keep the Sabbath, it's not by accident, but it's always intentional, right? And it's almost like that's the point, because it is. In order to keep the Sabbath day holy, you have to be intentional about keeping it. Amen? It's not just something that happens. It's not always something that's always easy, but it's something that we do because it's a blessing and a command from God. But notice this. Now, this is from, and some of you might laugh, this is from the CDC. Always trust, right? I'm kidding. I know that's a very interesting statement today. But this is from the CDC, nonetheless. And the CDC mentions that 6 in 10 adults in the United States have a chronic disease. Now, I personally believe that number's a little bit low. I would say it's a little bit higher because a lot of us don't go and get checked out, right? But it says 6 in 10 of the people in the United States have a chronic disease, and that's inclusive of these. Heart disease, cancer, lung disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, kidney disease. And it says that the leading driver of the nation's $3.8 trillion in annual healthcare cost. Some money, isn't it? If you continue reading this article, and you can look it up, it's right on the CDC website, you'll find that most of these chronic illnesses are caused from a diet, a fast diet, and also lack of rest. Isn't that interesting? Most of these illnesses that people in the United States are facing today are lifestyle related. Whether it's their diet, whether it's their habits, whether it's not getting enough rest, the Sabbath. I mean, just imagine this for just a moment. If people were able to take a Sabbath, how much that would solve, right? And of course, we know that our evangelical brothers and sisters know this, and sooner or later, they're going to see the need for a Sabbath, right? That's going to go a very different direction. But taking a look at this, it mentions in this article that people just need to take a vacation, right? Now, when you take a look at the Bible, you will find vacation is never mentioned. Did you know that? I say this coming right off of vacation, right? But when you look at the Bible, you will find that vacation is never mentioned. It's never referenced. You don't see it. Now, there are some things that might come close. For instance, the year of Jubilee. Right? Every 7 years, things were supposed to revert, right? The fields were supposed to rest, right? So there was a little bit of that. Another something that's similar is, did you know that in the Old Testament, or the Jewish people just in general, that when a man and a woman got married, for the first year of that marriage, the husband was not allowed to go to war, and he was not allowed to hold a day job? Because he was supposed to focus on making sure that his marriage was solid, and that he was connected to his wife. Isn't that cool? But other than that, we don't see any vacation mentioned in the Bible. Could it be that the Bible is telling us that if we kept a Sabbath, we would be a lot less tired than we are today? And by keeping a Sabbath, I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sabbath morning and calling it good. That's the bare minimum. What I'm talking about is keeping the Sabbath in the way that the Bible mentions keeping a Sabbath. Now, this is interesting. This is my own thought here. I just wrote it down so that I could say it right. It says, we pray for healing and rest without being willing to allow God's disruption of our overworked schedules. All right, so I think Mitch has said something like this before. We come and we ask the Lord, Lord, heal me, right? Lord, I'm so tired, give me rest. Lord, I'm so ill, heal me. And God wants to answer those prayers, and he can, right? And he can. But we're coming to him and asking for help when he's already given us the solution, right? Okay, you're tired. Are you keeping the Sabbath, right? It says this, but can that really work? Who expects to lose weight without changing their diet? Who desires to run a marathon without training? Praying for rest without going through the effort of learning how to Sabbath is a difficult prayer to answer as any. Could God do it? Of course. But I suspect that we do not need to pray about our exhaustion. We need to learn how to rest. Amen. We need to act on taking a Sabbath. Now, before you think this sermon is all anti-work, when you think about it, when you look at the seventh-day commandment, you'll find that in order to keep the Sabbath, work is required, right? 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. Intentionally keeping the Sabbath day. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Adventists, I might add, we take a look at the Sabbath and we say to ourselves, okay, I have a to-do list here. I'll keep the Sabbath as long as I get this to-do list done, right? But as adults, you know this. Your to-do list is never done, is it? Like, there are things that you could be doing right now that would be worthwhile doing, right? You have things in your home. You have things at work. You have things that always need to be done. There's always something, isn't there? What God is saying is not, he's not telling you to finish your to-do list and then take a break with him. What God is saying is, in spite of the work that you have to do, he wants to spend time with you. Amen? Because that to-do list is never done. If we were to wait for all of our work to be over before we took a Sabbath, you would never take a Sabbath. What God is telling us is this, I know that you're busy, I know that you have things to do. I'm more important than your to-do list. Amen. Like, all those things may be important and be well and good, but where is your time for me? In spite of all the things that you have to do, hit the pause button and let's remember why you exist. Let's go to Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. This is a very interesting text, and I believe that Haggai here is talking about the Sabbath, among other things. And you always have to pay attention when God says, consider your ways, because that's what he does here in Haggai. It's like, oh boy, consider your ways. Here we go. And he certainly does. Haggai chapter 1, we'll start here in verse 5. Notice what God says. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, here it is, consider your ways. Now listen to this. You have sown much, so you work a lot, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but there is none warm. He that earns wages to put it into a bag, with what? With holes. What God is saying here is you can go throughout life being busy, busy, busy all the time. You can put money in your wallet. You can do all of these things, but it's not going to fulfill you, right? You're always going to have want for something. You know, we often, I do this all the time as well. We as Americans, people in first world countries, we're guilty of this so much. We wear busyness like a badge of honor, right? How are you doing? Oh, just busy, 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 right? And we've all done it, right? We all do that. I do that. Being busy isn't necessarily a good thing. Now, working is a good thing. Doing what God has told you to do is a good thing. I'm not trying to say that work is bad. What I'm saying is, if you're too busy for God, there's a problem, right? And Haggai is describing someone that's busy all the time, working, putting things away, feeding, clothing. But he's empty. That describes a lot of Christians today. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, he says it again, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house. Your translation might even say church there. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I love how he says this here, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. We're so busy filling up our houses with things that we think we need that we neglect the house of God. And I'm not even saying the physical building. What I'm saying is this. We're so busy on the outside that we don't take time to come before the throne of grace and worship God on a daily basis. And this is why God has given us the Sabbath. Amen. Because it forces us to stop and remember that He is God. Our work is not the problem. It's replacing God with our work that is the problem. Amen? That's definitely a lesson that I think we all can learn. If you would, go with me. Well, actually, I have a couple here. Genesis 3:18. This is when you see work began to be a curse. This is after sin has been introduced. Childbirth becomes painful. Sorry, ladies. And in Genesis 3:18, we see part of the curse of Adam. Notice what it says here. Genesis 3:18. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Now, this is interesting. A lot of people take a look at this verse, and they look at the Hebrew there, because the word for thistle or thorn there also means annuals. It means like crops that you grow that only come back once, right? Like corn and wheat. A lot of people look at that verse and Ellen White talks about it too, that in the Garden of Eden, most of the diet was fruit, right? Came from trees, right? And then God introduces them vegetables that they can grow. It's interesting here because this word therefore, thorn, means annuals, right? Not things that come back on a tree. So basically what Adam was told to do was not only work, but he was going to have to work for his food a lot harder than he had to. And when you see Jesus there upon Calvary, it mentions, and the Greek there talks about it, that thorns around his head were annuals. The curse of Adam was upon the head of Jesus. Isn't that powerful? But Adam's work became hard. All the more reason for us to take a Sabbath. Speaking of Sabbath, we don't have time to go there today. But if you'd like to, in Psalms 92, you can read the introduction of that chapter. Psalms 92 is a Sabbath chapter. When the congregation would come in on Sabbath to the synagogue during the time of Jesus and during the time of David, Psalms 92 was a chapter that the congregation would recite together as they walked into the synagogue, which I find is interesting. So you can read that for yourself sometime. We don't have time today, but Psalms 92. But there's two questions that I often get asked when talking about the Sabbath. And number one, it's not really a question, it's more of a statement. How do I make time for the Sabbath? You ever heard that before? I'm sure many of you have, right? How do I make time for the Sabbath? That's one of the most common questions that is brought up to people that maybe have never kept the Sabbath before, or maybe they're struggling with keeping the Sabbath. How do I keep the Sabbath? You know what the answer to that is? You don't ever make time. Since when are we God? Right? We can't make time. God makes time, doesn't He? What we have to ask is, how do I prioritize the time that God has already given me? Amen? And the second question is this, what do I do on the Sabbath? So listen to those questions. How can I make time for the Sabbath? And what do I do on the Sabbath? Where are both of those questions focused? I, right? How do I make time? Well, first, God's the only one that makes time. And secondly, what do I do on the Sabbath? Friends, we don't always have to be busy doing something, do we? We're so used to doing things all the time, 24/7. The Sabbath is a time that we should be still and know that He is God. Focus on your marriage. Spend time with your children. Come together as that church family on Sabbath morning. Worship God. This is what the Sabbath was created for. But my last point here, when you talk about keeping the Sabbath, sometimes with people that understand the Sabbath too, but most often with people that don't know what Sabbath means, when you introduce it to someone, there's often a great deal of hostility when talking about keeping the Sabbath. It's really the only commandment that that happens with. You know, the Sabbath is pretty much the only commandment that if you broke it, you'd get a raise. Right? Like, society as a whole looks at lying and cheating and stealing and adultery and all. Society tends to look at those things as a negative, right? Like, of course you don't steal. Of course you don't lie. Usually people will uphold that. But when it comes to the Sabbath, if you break it, you're often rewarded, right? At least in our society today. And when you talk about keeping the Sabbath with people, there's often hostility associated with that. Or maybe you're looked at as lazy or something like that. And it's interesting because we have what I call trump cards in our society. Not the president, but trump cards. And let me give you an example of a trump card. Let's say that somebody has come and they've asked you to help them with something or invited you for dinner or some kind of get-together, right? A trump card or an example of a trump card would be, I would love to come, but I'm watching my grandchildren that day. Immediately, you're out of that obligation, right? No questions asked, right? That's how it goes in our society. We have trump cards that we can play to get out of certain things. So, hey, I'd like you to come do this with me. I'm watching my grandchildren or my children that day. Oh, boundary, no problem. Or, here's another one. Hey, I'd like you to come and do this for me. Hey, you know, I'd really like to, and I'm normally free that day, but work called, and I've got to go to work. Trump card, right? You're immediately out of that situation. Or, in 2021, hey, I was exposed yesterday. Immediate trump card, right? You get out of that situation. And some of them, to be fair, are used correctly. Sometimes we use them to get out of something we don't want to do, right? And I think we've all been there a time or two. But if you come up to somebody, they've asked you to do something, and you say, hey, I'm sorry, that's the Sabbath. Not a trump card. What? What does that mean, the Sabbath? And so that often makes us feel uncomfortable because they don't understand what Sabbath means. We don't maybe want to appear judgy. We get awkward about it. And so often we just don't mention it, or we make up an excuse to get out of it so that we can keep the Sabbath. But it used to be that the Sabbath was an opportunity to witness, right? Hey, I don't do this today because it's the Sabbath. What are you talking about? You don't know what the Sabbath means? Let me tell you, right? That's a witnessing opportunity. But it seems like we've become ashamed of what we do on Sabbath. And I think one of the reasons that we often don't share about the Sabbath is because we really don't know ourselves what it means to keep the Sabbath. But friends, let's make sure that we don't make work or activity or busyness our idol. Because in today's time and just how we live, it's so easy for that to happen. But my last scripture for today deals with these trump cards, if you will. Go with me to Luke 14. This is a parable that Jesus told, really about the second coming. But I'd like to read this in line with the Sabbath, what we've been discussing. Luke 14, verse 15. Again, keep this in mind with the Sabbath. Luke 14, verse 15. Says this, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I want to pause there for just a moment. In Song of Solomon, it mentions that God invites us to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. A lot of you have a tune connected with that, don't you? His banner over me is love, right? The VBS song. Every Sabbath, God is inviting us to a spiritual banqueting table. Amen? Every Sabbath is an invitation for us to get a taste of what it means to be in heaven, on earth. And God invites us every Sabbath to come to our spot at the Sabbath banqueting table. Notice what happens here in this parable. Verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Here comes the trump cards. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must need go and see it. I pray to have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to prove them. I pray that you would have me excused. Another one said, now watch this wording here. I find it interesting. I have married a wife. It's not I have married my wife. It is I have married a wife, or one of many. I don't know. And therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is still room. And the Lord said to the servant, go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Friends, the Sabbath does not have limited seating. God invites all, no matter what our status may be, to come and sit at his spiritual banquet every Sabbath. But the problem is, a lot of us try and play the trump card with God, right? Well, I understand it's the Sabbath, Lord, but I'm traveling today and I'm kind of hungry. You would understand if I just went to this restaurant just for a quick one, wouldn't you? Lord, I understand that it's the Sabbath, but this test is coming up on Monday. And you know, these 24 hours could really use some study. You'll understand, won't you? Friends, it's not about God understanding. It's about you robbing yourself of an experience that he wants to give you, right? It's like what I tell people. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll be like, Pastor, I don't know if I can afford to pay my tithe. My response is usually the same. You can't afford not to pay your tithe, right? It may not make financial sense at the beginning. You might be looking at your bills and saying to yourself, man, that 10% really could put us over the edge. But what does God do time and time again? He not only sees you through, but he blesses you abundantly. You can't afford not to pay your tithe. The same is true with the Sabbath. Lord, I just don't know if I have the time to take the Sabbath today. There's so much more that I have to do. Friends, you can't afford not to take the Sabbath, because you're robbing yourself of not just a spiritual blessing, but you're putting your busyness and your works before God. And that's a huge problem. It's not about God understanding. It's about recognizing what you're truly doing with your relationship with God. You know, there's stories that we've read. I mean, I'm sure you read these stories like I did when I was a kid. You've heard stories of people that were like in different countries that had a test on Sabbath, and they go to their dean, and they're really late on in college, and they go to their dean. Their dean says, you can only take this test on Sabbath. And so the student will say, well, then I can't take it. How many of us would just say, Lord, you understand. It's my last year of college. It's my only opportunity to take this test. You get it, don't you? You know, we often complain in our country today, in the United States anyway, Seventh-day Adventists here, we say, Lord, where are your miracles? We don't put God in the position to work miracles for us, right? You know, I was reading this week about the Oregon Trail. and not the old PC video game, the actual Oregon Trail. You remember what I'm talking about. And the Oregon Trail, of course, in the spring, people would start in the Midwest and they'd travel to Oregon or the West or California. And I was reading about in the 1800s, there were a few different wagon trains that had come together. And one of them was making quite a bit of, not press, but they were making some waves because the leader of that wagon train said that they were going to keep the Sabbath. And there are a lot of people that left the wagon train because, you know, after 4 months of getting over to Oregon, that's a lot of Sabbaths. And that's time that we could be spending on the road making miles. But there were some people that said, you know what, staunchly, we're going to keep the Sabbath. And so they followed this wagon master, and all these different wagon trains left at the same time. You'll never guess who got to Oregon first. That's right, the one that kept the Sabbath. Turns out the people didn't get sick like they would have. Turns out that the oxen, they didn't just fall down and die. There was something about taking a rest and focusing on God one day a week that made them more efficient. You know, we think we know so much more than we do. The Sabbath is very much like a law. You know, Newton's law of gravity, right? You drop an apple and what happens? It falls. It has no choice. But we have laws of health, don't we? If you eat this for so long, guess what's going to happen? You break the law, you're going to pay. When it comes to the Sabbath, when it comes to resting in God's, be still and know that I am God, if we go without it for so long, guess what's going to happen? We're going to pay the consequence of that. Not just physically, but spiritually, and with our families as well. Friends, let's make sure that we don't make the time to keep the Sabbath, but let's delight in keeping the gift that God has given us. Don't be so busy that you think you can't keep the Sabbath. You can't afford not to keep the Sabbath. Father, we know that you never want to pass us by, but Lord, sometimes we walk by without even looking. Lord, you've given us your Sabbath, and far too often we have neglected it. Lord, we ask that you would not only come to us on this day, Lord, but may we invite you into our homes, into this place, into our hearts. May we remember what this day stands for. Lord, we know that you healed more on the Sabbath in your earthly ministry than on any other day. It's a day associated with restoration. And Lord, we want to be restored. That's why we're here today. So Father, continue to restore us into the image that you truly made us after. Go with everyone here today. Be with those that weren't able to be here. We ask you to give them a Sabbath blessing wherever they may be. We pray in your name. Amen.
You have been listening to Garrett Morgan, pastor of Big Rapids, Bristol, and Reed City Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Big Rapids Seventh-day Adventist Church at 1031 Rose Avenue in Big Rapids, and their church service begins at 9:30 a.m. Or visit the Bristol Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 11225 East 8 Mile Road in Tustin, and their church service begins at 11:30 a.m. Or visit the Reed City Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 17290 U.S. Highway 10 in Hersey, and their church service begins at 3 p.m. This program has been a Strong Tower Radio production.